that we're here and having breakfast.
Because I need to wake up a bit more.
You have any soy milk for breakfast?
No, there's not any soy milk, but there could have been soy milk, because I think the soy milk that is, well, especially the organic one that you can sell here, it often comes from France and Italy and not necessarily from South America, and it wouldn't be GM soy.
My name is Javiera Rulli, and I am from the Grupo Reflexión Rural from Argentina, and we work we are now in Holland to denounce the impacts of soy in South America.
Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
In Amsterdam, and I work with ACET, which is an activist organization that has a campaign for the moment on soy. It's a bean that has a lot of potential in a way, because you can use this for a lot of things. But the problem is that soy is totally being misused and turned into this commodity that is just like grown on big scale and is an example of how the agro-export model is functioning for the moment.
So when the people like Cargill, ADM and Bunge that controls soy, controls the trade of soy, is actually owner of the meat production in Europe, the dairy production, the cookies, the production of cookies, the lime, you know? They own us. They own everything that is in this table. And that's, so soy is a main star creating this dependence.
And which other companies?
ADM, Bunge, Cargill,
and
Dreyfus. Those are the four biggest grain traders.
The main cultivation is in Argentina, Brazil, and also in Paraguay, and on a smaller scale in Bolivia. And Argentina has really been booming a lot, especially with GM soy. Almost 100% of the cultivation there is GM.
And why do they need to go to South America to get soy?
Because, you can avoid taxes, you can avoid regulations, you can violate human rights. It's a place where you can deforest illegally without being punished severely. And, they just can corrupt. So, because of the situation in these countries, for them it's really profitable to have their high-yield cultivations there.
GM is meant to like help the hungry people and places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is.
I think it's rather the opposite now. I mean, yeah. It's such a corporate colonization. So why? Because here in the north, there is an intensive meat production, which most of the time ends in overproduction. So we'll be going to the south through dumping. We'll go back to the south through dumping. You know, we have to use our lands, most of our agricultural land, to crop these commodities while people are starving because they don't have access to food. So in South America we have a very optimal agriculture land, especially Argentina and Brazil. And we have always, we have historically been agro-exported countries, agricultural goods, that we were focusing our export on agricultural goods. But before, we used to export food, wheat, meat, things that we also could eat. So in that sense, the population did not face such a crisis. Now, when we have to dedicate our land to crop fodder, that is when we also goes over a limit and people start to starve because they don't have access to food. Food becomes really expensive and there is less land to crop it for the local population. And with that, now it's a GM seed that is being used for agriculture, and especially the Roundup Ready soybean, which is resistant to the herbicide of Roundup of Monsanto, which is mainly glyphosate. That means also those lands, those like 50 million hectares of soy in Argentina, or 2 hectares of soy in Paraguay. 2 million hectares.
You want more
50.
Coffee?
Yeah, but I can't find the sugar. That's the problem. That's why I walk around.
Sugar.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those lands are being lost, you know, because there is such an indiscriminate use of agrotoxins on them, and it's so intensive also to, they don't make any kind of rotation, they just do soy on soy on soy on soy. So that means that all the nutrients, we are losing all the nutrients. So it's not only soy that is coming here to Europe, it's actually all our soil nutrients are being, our soils are being depleted of nutrients because of this export. So we are losing the land, actually. We are selling off our land with this kind of agriculture.
You can only hear the winds. It's like, because of this huge pesticide fertilizer use, like, all life, all biodiversity is killed, especially with GM soy. Everything around this GM plant that is resistant to this herbicide gets killed. All the plants burn. All the insects that were around are dead because they can't grow on anything anymore. All the birds that were eating the snails that were there before also die. So there's this huge decrease of life. And also for the people living around these plantations, this massive herbicide and pesticide use means a lot of health problems and even a lot of deaths.
Deaths?
Yeah.
Death?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people get totally intoxicated by this massive chemical use, and not only more on a indirect way through cancer and leukemia and all kind of awful diseases, but also just like by a huge level of pesticides in their blood. So children have been dying in Paraguay and Argentina.
Mm. This is our role in the globalization. We have to provide fodder to the globalized market, China, Europe.
Yeah.
You can't stop this for some collateral effects.
Government are still corrupted by money. And
actually, the entrance of this corporation has meant a lot of corruption. So the interest of this corporation is really now inside the government structure and the power structure. Like Petrona, the mother of a kid that was killed by glyphosate, by poisoning Silvino Talavera. She has been fighting with Conamuri 3 years now for getting a court case,
mm-hmm.
no? And there are two court cases where the sentence has been against the soy producers, where they have actually found them guilty. They are always appealing. They have the whole GM soy lobby behind them. And now they're at the Supreme Court, and the sentence doesn't come out. Of course, because it's a court case that can mean that other people can take their dead relatives to the court case and like make new demands. So it's a historical example, and it's only one. But I imagine that there must be thousands of demands all over, but the peasant doesn't have money to follow up a process,
mm.
and there is a lot of corruption, so the papers are being lost in the archives, or something happens in the way that you don't progress with this.
Mm.
The case of Silvini shows really like the impunity of the soy producers there, because the boy was biking home, and the soy producer was like spraying herbicide with a mosquito with this machine, and he saw the boy. And he had to turn around the machine, and he didn't stop. So the machine, you know, like the arm with the spraying arm, I don't know if this is the right English, went over Silvino without stopping. He showered Silvino with glyphosate, you know, and he showered. And Silvino was biking home with meat for his family, so all the meat got poisoned as well. So when he came home, he gave the meat to his sister. He didn't tell about what happened because he didn't understand. And so everybody ate that meat, and there were 22 people that got poisoned at that time. And Silvino the worst. And actually he was recovering after being in a hospital when he got back home. But then the other neighbor was spraying So he got a second shower, like through the window, you know, because their family has the soy field 5 meters, inside 5 meters distance. So he also got a second time of contamination, and he couldn't resist it, and he died. But this is the case of Silvino, that shows how also producers act really impune, and that people are that are being surrounded and cornered, you know, because the end, what will they do? They will give up the land. You know? They're being killed. It's like the whole family of Petrona is being poisoned for every time they sow and harvest soil.
Mm-hmm. Surely somebody in the European Union or the banks that are backing them, someone must have noticed that this is happening. International Finance Corporation, I mean, they invest public money. They must have social, environmental protection, safeguards. They must have some sort of accountability for the way their money is used. I mean, if it's killing children, it's...
Yeah, well, they're just violating their own standards. They just ignore it, and it's like, no, we don't think we made a mistake. So even if their own internal ombudsman says that they did something wrong, they just like shift it off the table.
When it's so clear, I mean, it's they're talking about soy expansion in Mato Grosso, you know, a place that used to be forested. There is no way to not find those impacts. You know, soy expansion means in those areas, like means in those areas, deforestation. That I think is a mistake that not only banks are having, but maybe even like policy makers and even some big NGOs, that they think that, okay, they accept that this model of soy is feeding the whole meat production and food production of Europe, so they think that this can't change, but they try to find a way out of this, you know, when the model itself is so intensive. It's not only affecting or the food security of the population in those countries, in the production countries, but now it's also threatening the last pristine areas, forest areas, because it's, there had never been a model of agriculture for export, an agro-export model for fodder. You know, before it was cows, it could be coffee, it could be bananas, something that you can't eat every day, you know. Maybe you eat one banana every day or three bananas, but it's not something... But this with fodder, with soy, that also soy for making, with all this industrial versatility, with the whole industrial versatility, and now the biodiesel, means that there will be no limit for this agriculture expansion. So they will go on deforesting until the last piece of Amazon and until the last piece of the forest of the Chaco, because they will always have a market here where to sell the soy.
So you're saying they're cutting down the forest to produce biodiesel?
Yeah.
Can you say a bit more about that? I mean, if the Greens were aware of that, the people who were wanting to put biodiesel in their buses and things.
I mean, Europe has now ratified the Kyoto Protocol, and they need in 4 years to find sources to make biodiesel to be able to fill the quote that they have, that is 5.75% of the diesel has to come from some renewable energy, such as biodiesel. So soy, because it's an oleaginous, is a very good commodity to make biodiesel. And we see that in South America. We see like the biggest investment, like Repsol YPF has just invested $30 million to build a plant to make biodiesel, green fuel. There is the first shipment of biodiesel going to Germany already. And because we are countries from the south, we don't have to cut our emissions. You know, they can sell clean development mechanism to us. So they will make biodiesel out of soy. And they will also use all these tree monocultures that also affect the population through the pesticide and even with GM trees, as they are trying to push out now in Brazil and in Chile, you know, they will use that for to clean